Genesis chapter 6. And it came about that men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. In their erring he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The giants were in the earth in those days, and even afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore to them, they were heroes which existed from ancient time, the men of name. And the Lord saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination or the thought of his heart was only evil all day long. And the Lord repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. The Lord said, I will wipe off man whom I have created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to creeping thing, and to birds of the heavens, for I repent that I made them. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah, righteous man, had been perfected among his family. Noah walked with God. And Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked in the earth, and behold, it was corrupted. For all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Make an ark of cypress timbers for yourself. You shall make rooms in the ark. You shall cover it with asphalt inside and out. You shall make it this way. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it above to a cubit. You shall set to the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third stories. Behold, I am bringing a flood of waters on the earth in order to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under the heavens. Everything which is on the earth shall die. And I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You shall bring into the ark two of every kind, of every living thing of all flesh, to keep alive with you. They shall be male and female, from the fowl after its kind and from the cattle after its kind, from every creeping thing on the ground after its kind, two from each shall come in to you to keep alive. Take for yourself all food that is eaten. Gather it to yourself. Let it be for you and for them for food. Noah did so according to all that the Lord commanded him. So he did.
Interesting chapter. Awful lot of unbelievable beliefs that come out of it. There is a concept of a belief system of the sons of God, and then another belief system about the giants, another belief system about, we won't go through the ark. But we're going to talk about some of those things today, and I want to talk about, if I can, what the phrases are written in the Hebrew language. That, or the words, okay? The reason is because some of the many concepts of belief systems came out of Judaism about angels coming down because of a word that they have figured it must mean this, but they haven't been able to prove it. But we're going to talk about this. First thing I want to remind you of, second verse, Actually, let's go to verse 1 first. It came to pass that men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them. That's not unusual, right? But the second sentence is very interesting. All right? That the sons of God and the sons of God or saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they looked, took them wives of all they chose. All right. Now we went through the fourth chapter of Genesis, right? And we went through the fifth chapter of Genesis, right? Now, what was the parallel between the two?
Righteous seed, unrighteous seed.
All right. Now, if we remember correctly, why did Eve name Seth?
Because God gave her a replacement.
A replacement of?
The promised child.
Abel.
Of Abel.
Abel.
All right, now, what was Abel noted for?
Righteousness.
For righteousness. In other words, he was right. We'll go with a little bit of righteousness today because Noah falls in that category. Now, when you think about this thing and you're saying, okay, there are two separate lines here. Now, one interesting thing about the line of Cain is what? That's different than the line of Seth. What stands out that's really different between the two?
Well, the promise didn't go through the line of Cain.
I'm sorry, what?
The promise didn't go through the line of Cain.
The promise didn't go through the line of Cain, all right. Any other thing that's kind of different between the two?
He marked them somehow and banished them from his presence.
Okay. Keep that in mind. Yes?
They also did not record his genealogy thereafter.
Did not record the genealogy. Did not record time. Did not record anything other than just the names of the people. You don't know when they were born. You don't know how old someone was when someone was born. But in the line of Seth, it's extreme detail. Now, sometimes we look back and say, well, you know, after all, Noah didn't have that data. Well, I'll tell you what I think, what I believe, personally. God didn't want that information out there because it has no value. The value is the line of Seth, not the line of Cain. Now, when you think about the line of Cain, or line of Seth, rather, where does that take you when you go forward?
Messiah.
All the way to the Messiah. All right? So we have two different lines. Line of what is called righteous line, which is Abel. And the other one is a line of Cain, which is unrighteousness. Right? There's two different lines. All right? So we're looking at this thing and you're saying, who are the sons of God? Who do you think they are?
They would be the sons of Seth and the godly line.
All the way down to the Messiah. That's why they are called the sons of God, not the sons of Cain. The sons of righteousness, not the sons of unrighteousness. Now what took place here? You stop and think about these. Who are these guys supposed to marry?
Daughters of God.
Daughters of what?
Daughters of God.
Okay, that's correct. They're supposed to marry the daughters of God, not the daughters of men. All right, the line was still there. Now, there are three women listed in the line of Cain. Did you know that? Did you know? Did you pay attention? None of the women are relisted in the line of the righteous, except Eve. Now, isn't that interesting? So, when we look at the line of Cain and those names are listed, why are they listed?
To tell a story.
They tell a story, all right.
To prove that there was more people from not just the godly line.
Okay. Why are the names listed in the godly line? Now remember, we went through these two names. Who piled the names for a reason? What stands out about these people? They weren't just ordinary. It's not like, you know, my grandfather named Ambrose, had a son, he named his son Leland, and Leland had a son, named his son Richard, and Richard had a son, named his son Daniel, and Daniel had a son, and named his son. That's a dead line. That's no value. No history. We'd be listed in the Torah as many sons and daughters, unknown who they are. But when you have a name of somebody, that name of somebody is very important. It's not just a drop in the bucket. They were very prominent leaders, prominent men, and in the case with Cain, prominent women. Very forceful, very dominant. They had influence. They're not just names for the sake of names, because for the sake of names, we should have billions of names listed in the Bible. And we have an assumption, which is not biblically, that these names are considered the firstborn. Doesn't say that. All it tells you is, at what a certain time in his life, somebody had a son. Of course, he had sons and daughters. But one of those sons did something. He was what? A leader. Whether he's a leader of righteousness or whether he's a leader of unrighteousness. Right? We'll get to this point here now. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? It's not really hard to figure out why names are there. Yes?
That gives a new meaning to why the Messiah, his name was the branch. Because if you figure this out, each one of these people listed is branching off from this and that and this and that. So when you get out to Messiah, he's all the way at the end of a very long branch.
Very long branch. And the names are very, very important. The book of Luke, you know, it goes from a certain point and goes all the way back to Seth. And he tells us through the book of Luke, this is a very important line. It's just not an ordinary family. It's a line that has a connection or connected to God. Now, amongst them, they had sons and daughters, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Now, in the line of Cain, there's no listings of sons and daughters in the multitude. Just, you know, a couple of sons and one daughter and a couple of women. But there's no mention of they had sons and daughters. We just assume they have. Well, because we know we have, because chapter 6 says, guess what? They began to multiply. Now, we have this conflict that's taking place. And it's very interesting that the line of each one, the line of Cain and the names listed, were noted for doing something important. The same thing with the line of Seth. Every name of every one, and we went through that, right? Has an impact of doing something that made an impact on the world. They're just not ordinary people. They're leaders. Powerful leaders. Now we're going to get into something here. Verse 3. Interesting words. Now, he read it, and it says, and the Lord said, or Yahweh said, Elohim said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, it's a nice English word, right? What do you think strive means? Fight, quarrel, bicker, challenge, do something?
Endure.
Endure. Right. Interesting word. All right. Now, it really comes from the same name of one of the men of the tribe of Israel. Is Dalit? Or the D and an N. Dan. This strive means not strife. The only place it's translated strife in your English Bible, for some reason, is here. And it should say judge. Ah, my spirit will no longer what? Judge man. Why? Because man is what? Flesh. And then he uses a very interesting word, which we will not go in this week. Next week I will talk about the 120 years. We won't go there this week. But you understand a little bit thing about this thing, judge. Now, it's interesting here now, to get to a point where we'll go. I want you to go to Genesis, the 15th chapter. The same exact identical word, verse 14. Genesis 15, verse 14. And also that nation, meaning, in this case, Egypt, whom they will serve, will I judge. And after that, they shall come out with great substance. Now, it wouldn't be strange if he turned around and said, I will strive. No, that doesn't make sense, right? It's a really weird word. Why it's translated in English. He says, I'm not no longer, my spirit, very important, he uses the word, my spirit will no longer judge man. And we'll get to where what he said to Noah later, after the flood. But very important to pay attention why he said, my spirit will no longer judge man. All right? In the very Genesis 49th chapter, verse 16. Now, we're not there, but when we get to the 49th chapter of Genesis, I'm going to go through those names of those men and why they're named the name they are and what that reflects or what it's all about. But I'll give you a real big hint. It has nothing to do with the tribes. Nothing to do with the tribes. It has everything to do with the Messiah. And we'll get there when that time comes. The names are important, and I'll get to the word Shem is a very interesting word. Okay? It doesn't mean just a name of and by itself. It also describes what the situation is. We have names, you know. My name is Richard. You know, it means what? Rich-heartedness. If I'm not rich-heartedness, guess what? I got a phony name, right? Well, an awful lot of people named Richard are really phony because their name doesn't match them, right? And vice versa. But when the Word of God comes out, we read what's in the Torah. When a name shows up, it has a precise meaning of the actions of that person, which tells us what they did, or an action of something that will happen. Now, in Genesis, in chapter 48, verse 16, 49, verse 16, yes, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. And literally in Hebrew, the judge shall judge. The judge shall judge. Now, who's going to do the judging?
Messiah.
Ah, we have to know why it's going to be him. Because we have here in the book of Genesis, in the 6th chapter, saying, I will no longer judge man. Who's going to judge man?
The Ruach HaKodesh will no longer judge man.
He is not going to judge
the Word.
He's only going to use the Son of Man to judge man. Why was Messiah called? He was called the Son of Man before he was called the Son of God. He called himself more the Son of Man than he did call himself anything else. Right? He used that phrase repeatedly over and over again. Now, Psalms, you don't turn there. Just to say one thing. say among the heathen that Yahweh reigns, and the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved, for he, Yahweh, shall judge the people. Oh, wait a minute, didn't he just get the saying in Genesis 6th chapter? I'm no longer going to judge. No, my spirit is no longer going to do the judging.
What text is that in Psalms?
I'm sorry?
What text is that you just read?
69, verse 10.
What is it?
69, verse 10. Because the actions, now listen very carefully, what we're talking, because of the actions of the sons of God in Genesis there, marrying the daughters of men, that God in his spirit is not going to judge those actions anymore. Who's going to judge them? Now we know he made a judgment, right? Before the flood. And the judgment was what? Wipe them all out. That's the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is so powerful, it'll wipe everybody out. Cease to exist. All right? So this is a future thing which did happen after the flood, because he said something very important to Noah. From now on, it's on your hands, not mine. You now will make the judgment. Now, keep in mind a couple of things. I want you to keep in mind about these things. It's very important. Verse 4. And they were giants in those days. Now, in Hebrew, what's that word in Hebrew?
Nephilim.
Okay, and what they do, they have a little play on words on this thing. But we have to ask, what is a giant?
A really, really big person.
A really big person, okay. What else?
Big leader.
Sorry, what?
A big leader.
A big leader, okay.
Prominent.
We're going to get a prominent person, all right. Now we're going to find out what kind of Protestant, excuse me.
Was he Protestant?
We're going to find out what the word giant really is talking about. It's not talking about a physical height of a big, huge man, 14 feet tall. It's talking about the actions. Right? We have in our own English language, when we look at the history of some of our men in the history of the United States, they call him a giant of a man. Not big, but his impact upon our country. Abraham Lincoln, a giant of a man. Why is he a giant of a man? It wasn't because he's tall, because of his impact. The leadership of people are considered giants in their... Sometimes we look at a man who is in charge of a big corporation and we call him a giant. Not big, the character. All right? We have to get to this point. So now we're going to look at this word in that point, because listen to continue on with that verse, which the sons of God, that is the generation line that is connected to the Son of God, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and they became... They became what?
Men of renown.
Mighty men. Get the mighty part first. All right? This is why it's important to know we're talking about a giant in the sense they were mighty, powerful. You know what that word means in Hebrew? That word means a warrior. One that goes to war, and as very specifically, you heard him say, violence and violence and violence and bred forth more violence and more violence. These giants, or we call them giants, prominent men, and they're mighty men, what do? They brought forth violence and violence and violence. Now, I want you to keep in mind so will be when the Son of Man comes as in the day of Noah. Now, what happened? The first thing that happened in the time of Noah was what? You forgot already? The sons of God were doing what?
They were marrying
the sons of men. Contrary, the righteous were marrying the unrighteous. The evil, the righteous line became an evil line. So the first thing you see, the first thing that's going to be present to our world is the evil will prevail.
So it had to do with their DNA?
Nothing to the DNA. It has to do with what you're going to do.
Being unequally yoked.
Can that Hoshach have relationship with order?
No.
No. Cannot combine those two. Can evil have connection with righteousness?
No.
No. What happens when righteousness connects to evil? It becomes evil. What happens when light connects to darkness? It becomes dark. And Apostle Paul is clear about that, right? Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So we see these men of giants, men of the one thing they had going for them, they were men of violence. Now we're at this point in time in our history. We're thinking, most of us believe, we're coming to the end, right? What else we have here? Men of violence showing up in the scene. Who is the one person you can think of other than that as a great man, a giant of a man, who brings forth violence? Yes.
Well, there are a lot of men of violence in our society these days. Whether you're talking about terrorists like Osama bin Laden or
Osama bin Laden, the most powerful name right now. Hitler was a very powerful name. What else?
Ahmadinejad.
What else? Who? You talk about men who are, they're giants, not in height, but in power. And they are warriors. They go to war. Now, when all these people go to war, who are they going to war against?
The righteous.
Now, they'll kill the unrighteous along with them because they can care less. But they're out, have to do one thing. Now, was Stalin a righteous man?
No.
But he's a man of what? Lot of violence. Okay, so we get a picture here. Now, as the days of Noah were. Now, when did man begin? Now, we know that how old was Noah at the time the flood started?
500 years.
What? 500 years. Yeah. So just, I think about this morning. Okay, this is year 2008. Subtract 500. 1508. What happened in the 1500s?
Crusades. The Renaissance.
So you began to say, wait a minute, maybe these things began a lot sooner than we think. I don't know. It's my thinking. Okay. I don't know that for a fact because I don't know that much of history. But sometimes we think that as the days of Noah were, it's going to be like overnight. No, 3-4 days. Maybe 7 weeks. Maybe 7 years. What if it's a lifetime more than one generation? How long has man been living this way? You know what's happened in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. What else did it do? That was big execution of Jews. Yes?
Well, you think about every generation has their men of violence or their men of renown. If you go back to Napoleon, you can
right.
go back further and further, you know.
What you're saying is that this is an ongoing scene. So we see, okay, now we're at this point now. We're in the 21st century. And we say, okay, God, you're not going to no longer judge us. But, man, there's an awful lot of violence. An awful lot of mighty men. Now, what it has the word renown? Some of your names has the word renown, men of renown. Why? It's actually the word shim or shame. What does it mean? What does that word mean?
Famous
and infamous. Not just a name, but something that's famous and emphasis. It's got power. Does something very mighty. And very, so these ones are have a name, a reputation.
Yep.
A reputation. What was what were they noted for?
Violence.
This is why it says all they thought was evil every single day. And I'm no longer going to judge them. I'm going to eliminate them. He's not going to wipe them all out. He's no longer. Now, what is a judge? Hebrew, what is the word judge referring to?
Ruler.
Someone that rules. You're going to have everybody. We have to have a ruler over our lives, right? Mm-hmm. If we didn't have a ruler over our lives, what would happen to our lives?
Anarchy.
And what?
Anarchy.
Anarchy, right?
Russia.
So we all have to have leaders. Read why we have leaders, because leaders are supposed to do something with us. Abel was still leader of righteousness, and Cain was a leader of unrighteousness.
Right.
Understand what I'm saying so far?
Yeah.
So that big renown thing means people who have got a name. They've done something. And we already have a full part. Now, it's just, and God repented. That's in your English?
Turn back.
I'm sorry, what?
Turn back.
Well, no, that's Toshiba. The difference. This is not the same word. It really means what you think it means. But not in the English words. He is sorrowful. Well, that repentance really means, it means that he is sorry in his heart.
Regret.
It says in his heart it grieved him. So we have this word repentance in relationship to grieve. Now, if you are like God, what's going to happen when you, in a sense, repent? Now, he didn't repent of wrongdoing. What did he do? Another Hebrew word for that is he regrets. Have you ever regretted something that wasn't not evil, just regretted you did something, even though it wasn't evil? Because the outcome turned evil. And you begin to have, oh, I wish I'd never done that. I wish I'd never gone there. I wish I'd never opened up that book. I wish I'd never went there. Wasn't evil. Actions weren't evil. But at the end results, what took place was evil. And with God, it grieved him. We think grieve means, it's a good English word, sorrowful, being sorrowful. You think God actually cried? Because he says he does. He broke my heart. My heart was in pain and agony. So when we talk about the word repent here, it's all real filled here. We'll go to Exodus, the 13th chapter, verse 7. And it came to pass that Pharaoh and had all the people go, and God led them not through the way of the land of Philistines, although it was near, for God said, least pre-adventure the people repent when they see the war. We're not talking about English word repentance here, are we? Regretting that they left Egypt. Now they face war. They want to return back to Egypt because they don't want to face war. That's the kind of Hebrew word when we're looking at the word repentance. We look at it in the face. It means they would regret leaving Egypt. All right? Does that make sense to you? Also has to do with the word comfort. Very fascinating thing. Psalms 69, verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity. But there was none. And for comforters. But I found none. Comforters. Same Hebrew word for regret. Those who regret. Couldn't find anybody who was regretful. Sorry they did it. Couldn't find anybody. So it's kind of interesting to know those little words. I'm going to go on real quick here. This is something I'm going to end here. I like this one. Daniel read somewhere, and I don't know exactly where he read it at, but in a lot of the Jewish, not a lot, apparently one of the Jewish writings he had, they considered Noah an unjust man because all he cared about was protecting himself by building the ark and his family, but didn't go out there and try to do anything with anybody. I don't know why they think that, because it's not written there in Hebrew at all. But, you know, it has to do with, I'm sorry, what are they, what are the Jewish sermons called? Midrashes.
Midrash.
A midrash. Midrashes are just sermons. They're one man's opinion, one man's thought. And if you had to be somebody who had a great name, his midrash, his thought, his word, got it, even though they're contrary to the word of God. Yes.
Men of renown.
Men of renown. Yes.
What kind of witness is a boat that big?
Well, I want to use three words here now. Now I said, but Noah found grace with God. Didn't mean he don't think he found it, you know. The word is came. Not found, came. Grace came to Noah. That's what the word, and it's been translated as found. No, grace came to Noah. How did grace came to Noah? Verse 9 tells you, Noah was just, Noah was perfect, and Noah walked. Man, those are three big ones, aren't they? Three big ones. What does just mean in Hebrew? In English? What does just mean?
In accordance with law.
Righteous. I'm sorry, what?
Means righteous.
All right.
Fair.
Sorry, what?
Fair, honest.
Lawful.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? We know that in English, it's the same concept, but it has to do something very interesting here. It means just and lawful. Guess what Noah did? He fulfilled the law. He obeyed the law. He lived the law. That's why it's called righteousness is living within the Word of God. In this case, he walked within the Word of God. And the Word of God says he was perfect. What did Jesus say to his disciples?
Perfect.
Be you perfect as my, your Father in heaven is perfect. And we say, no, we can't do that. That's not what Jesus said. Because see, he's looking at this one. He knows what this meant to him. Is God perfect? What does perfect mean?
Complete.
Nothing flawed in it. There is no uncleanliness with it. You can live a life if you are complete. And he said, be you complete as your Father in heaven is complete. We're talking about being clean compared to being unclean. We're talking about being just rather than unjust. We're talking about walking within with the law instead of walking against it. Do you understand? Every one of us in this room, as Jesus said to his, or Yahshua said to his disciples, be you, or become you, just like your Father. The only way you know how to walk like your Father, be like your Father, you got to do something. You got to pay attention to what he says. I gave a whole sorry, what?
He said, do what is right.
Do what is right.
Keep my commandments.
But you remember what I said about the eighth day? What was the key thing? If you know and do the will of my Father, you will know that my doctrine is true. It's not just obeying God. Noah just did obey God. He did something else. What else did he do? Walked with him. Lived with him, abode with him.
He had a relationship with him.
Correct. Obviously, because God talked with him. Noah, yes. Uh-huh. I want you to build a ship. Okay. He didn't obey. He didn't obey because he was terrified. He didn't obey because he had to. He did it because Oh, I'm walking with God. What are you going to do? You're going to destroy the planet? Okay. I'll get it started. What do you want me to do? Tell me how to do it. He told him how to do it. Yes. You had a hand up?
You know, I just realized what we prayed about this morning. If you do the will, you will know my doctrine is true. It's like when you stop the pagan holidays, there is such a clarity that comes, you know his doctrine is true.
Yeah. Is that whole thing, it rings true?
Exactly.
The light shined, the light came on. Darkness. Light can only come in when the Hoshech is there. Up comes the light, and the Hoshech is gone.
Amen.
So sweet. The only way, Hoshech, by the way, is a Hebrew word for darkness. You didn't know what that word meant. Some of you probably knew here. All right, so we have this thing of being perfect and being great and being one. And we talked about corruption, we talked about violence, and this people being the violence. I want to pay attention to verse 17 here, then I'll call it quits. Very fascinating words. Now, Jeff worded it a little differently, which is a very, very good way of wording it, because same thing. I like this statement. Behold, I do bring the flood. Guess who brought the flood?
God.
It wasn't done by some evolutionary concept. It wasn't done by some other planet hitting us. It wasn't done because of some other being out there.
It wasn't Satan.
It wasn't Satan. This is not the hand of Satan, not the hand of the devil, not the hand of evil. It's the hand of God.
I will break down. Is that somewhere? I destroy.
I will. I build up and I will destroy. You know what it means us? You know what it means to us? We should be terrified.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming in now in here today, and I want you to just understand a little thing that I really feel very strongly about. We'll get into this next chapter next week, but it's very fascinating about seeing that as the time of days of Noah, where the only thing the Messiah mentioned was one thing: marrying and giving in marriage. That's just the beginning. What follows that? They combined, and evil overpowered the line of the righteous, and they became evil. You understand what I'm saying? We ourselves should be fully aware that if we connect ourselves to that which is unrighteous, and compromise, because it's beautiful, it's not that bad. Evil is not that evil. Let's see if we can't get along together. What's that word?
Dialectic. Right.
Oh, well, I'll understand your side, you understand my side. Okay, let's cooperate together. Okay, you get your point, let's get somewhere in the middle.
I'm okay, you're okay.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you believe about God, but that we both believe in God. So
right.
That's okay.
And there is a real big belief. We had this video, which things that come in the Christian world, I have no idea what they are. Really, I'm void of it. Been void of it all my life, to tell you the truth. But, well, I wasn't raised up that way. I'm not making a mockery of it. I just said I wasn't raised up that way. I forgot what I was going to say now.
About Hill.
And the idea of there was something like 350,000 ministers around the world are going to this organization. I can't remember the name of the organization, but it's very close to
dialectic,
very close to, I don't want to mention the name, but very close to those things. And they're all trying to get along with one another. Let's have our belief system kind of all work together. I believe in God, you believe in God. I'm a son of God, you must be a son. All the people of God, all the people that face the earth are the sons of God, because God created them all. Well, that's not what the Word of God says.
It's calling righteousness unrighteousness and unrighteousness righteousness. It's not saying it's trying to take away. I don't want to call you wrong, and I'm not going to tell you I'm right.
Because that'll not I think, help us get along.
I think the Greek real is because evolution, concept evolution came in 1850.
1859.
It was before Darwin.
When the book was written,
1859. Okay. Sorry. But what's happening? We have come to believe in this country, our educational system has come to believe that evolution is true, and the Word of God is alive. In Christianity, if I understand what I'm seeing, they are evolving. They believe in the theory of evolution. They are evolving into a new religion. Well, they call it new. But you understand what I'm saying? Denying the power thereof. You know what God's going to do? He's going to show his power. He's going to show his power pretty powerful. You know, we have not, and see what I'm talking about, when the line of righteousness, and you are to be in the line of righteous children of God, if you begin to connect yourself to that which is in Hoshech or darkness or evil, something's going to happen to you. Because Apostle Paul says, good cannot corrupt evil. See, the other way around.